The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
To toll or not to toll? That is not the question. Rather, for the M50, the question is to toll a lot more or not? Or would it send cars and vans and trucks into the surrounding suburbia, solve one problem and create an even worse one? Well, joining me now is transport commentator Conor Faulkner. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
First of all, the government blinked on the toll increase.
They did, which is good news for motorists. But yes, the cabinet intervened last week. We were all talking about tolls, a proposed toll increase. It's still coming, but it's deferred until July. So I suppose time enough to have the row again in the new year, and at least it's deferred for now.
But they're going to pay their partners in tolling. Now, they're not partnered in everything because some are wholly owned already by the state.
Yeah.
But they have to pay millions to their partners.
They do, and that's the way tolls work or don't work around the country. There are 10 toll schemes in Ireland. In my view, none of them work properly. They all have complications, and it's actually a very expensive way of raising money. But those toll concessionaires have got contracts, 30-year contracts, and that's got, you know, index linking payments and all that sort of stuff baked into the contract. They needed to have that in the first place to de-risk the project, to be able to borrow the money, to be able to build the road. That's the model. But from the state's point of view, you have to honour the contract, frustrating though it is. So yes, yeah, we don't need to charge the consumer, but we do need to honour the deal with the concessionaire.
Is it time, though, to try and renegotiate with the concessionaire?
Perhaps. And up and down, because in some cases the concessionaires are disappointed by low traffic volumes. But in any case, when you put a hard toll on the road, it's very frustrating. It causes diversion. If you put a toll on the Fermoy bypass, for example, which we've done, inevitably you're going to send traffic into Fermoy instead of using bypass. So it's a bit of a traffic management own goal. In Catalonia, in Spain, they've extensive motorway network there. I actually know it quite well. And they just recently lifted all of their tolls. Literally just cancelled the tolls.
What about their partners?
Well, their partners are being paid. They're being paid under the shadow tolls model, which is to say that the Catalan government is continuing to honour the deal.
Okay,
the
so they're counting the cars.
They're counting the cars and paying the road managers on the basis of the amount of traffic that uses it. But they're not charging the punter and they're not causing this diversion problem. And Catalan motorists are delighted. They were trying to get that decision made for years and they've just done it last year.
Okay, now I don't know whether that's populism or pragmatism, but anyway, that's for the Catalans to sort out.
That's for the Catalans, yeah. You do ultimately still have to pay the bill. It's worth making that point. So whether the cost is socialised across the whole of the exchequer or paid at point of use, there's no blinking the fact that one way or the other you do have to pay the bill.
Yeah. It's funny, I drove to Kilkenny and back yesterday, no tolls. You know, just happens to be the way it is.
Yeah.
So maybe if I went further south, would there be a toll?
Well, do you know, if I go up to, I've a pal up in Navan, and or if I'm driving up to Cavan from where I am in Knocklyon, there are 3 tolls between my home and Cavan, which is a relatively short distance. Now, if I'm
doing, you're happy to do it because you're seeing him now and then.
As a one-off, but if that was your commute, or if you're sending, you know, delivery vans back and forth, there's absolutely no way you'll pay those tolls. You'll divert instead, you'll ignore the motorway and use the old road, which is precisely what is happening.
Now, multi-point tolling then on the M50. The idea being, some people were saying, well, if you enter on the north side and you exit on the north side before crossing the Liffey, you pay nothing. If you enter on the south side and you exit before crossing the Liffey, you pay nothing. If you happen to need to cross the bridge, you pay the full toll.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, why not pay a little bit for each section? So no matter where you go on it, you pay money.
Yeah. And it is, to be clear, this is a terribly bad idea. This would be a terrible thing to do. It would have all sorts of traffic consequences for the suburbs. But it's floated again because the Department of Transport, I've been talking to Transport Infrastructure Ireland on something called Project Bruce, which is their project name. It's Better Road User Charging Evaluation. And essentially, it's looking at how we tax cars. And, you know, in the future, there'll be less fossil fuel revenue. So how do you tax cars? And one of the ideas is this multi-point tolling. So you pay a toll whenever you use the motorway. And now, if to do that on the M50 as mooted, if, for example, you charge 70 cent per section rather than €2.10 to cross the old bridge, well, then you might spread out the revenue. But Lord, the collateral damage you would do in places like Dundrum or Finglas, where you would channel traffic off the motorway.
But at least they're thinking about the doomsday scenario when fossil fuels are no longer available, where we're all charging at home mostly, because that's how the electric fleet will work, Or, you know, if you're refueling mid-passage, then you're paying a commercial rate, and that can be obviously taxed at the pump, as it were. But at home, there's no difference between your washing machine and charging the car.
Yeah, so, exactly. So where does the tax revenue come from? Because, it, you know, we were talking about tolls. All the toll schemes combined is about 200 million quid a year. Fuel taxation is 2.5 billion quid a year, and they need to maintain that revenue base. Now, for years, I was a motoring lobbyist, and, you know, if you think about it, a great long-term success, the motorist is actually paying less and less tax. But from government's point of view, they need to replace it. So long-term, what will that thinking be? Perhaps it'll be a version of a congestion charge where we'll all pay as we move.
It's interesting
in the car,
that, for example, the Port Tunnel, which you believe is the only toll.
The only one that works properly,
Because the East Link is terribly congested. It's a waste of time during rush hour. The West Link doesn't seem to have improved things very much in terms of the M50 at rush hour. You can have a car park on the M50.
You can indeed. So
even we have automatic tolls, but even those don't seem to ease the congestion. Anyway, the Port Tunnel works, and they charge €10 if you want to go at peak time. And some people, in an emergency, or
if you really need to, if you're going to catch a flight or whatever it might be, you're bringing a, you know, the IDA bringing a CEO in from the airport, whatever, take the tunnel, terrific. But it's free for trucks, and it's tolled heavily to keep it free for trucks. So it's used, you know, the traffic management consequences of a toll are used deliberately in the Port Tunnel and ignored on the M50.
Yeah. Okay, so we could have road charging generally. In other words, pay as you go. And do we have the technology that would track every car, every van, every truck? Do they all have transponders? And, you know, if they're a Czech truck, for example, that's passing through Ireland, could we charge the Czech truck in the same way as we charge an Irish truck?
Well, we could in theory. The technology is actually physically in the cars already. Virtually all vehicles these days can immediately tell the emergency services where they are. If there's a crash, it'll go off with the airbags. And that's actually not GPS. I think that's the European Galileo satellite system. So all type approved European cars can in theory be tracked. Now there's GDPR and civil liberties conversations, but in theory, you can just track all the cars. So whenever your car moves, you'll pay a tax rate accordingly. It might be more in a congested city, less on a rural road, all sorts of, you know, possibilities for designing.
It's interesting,
the
and then who'd have the right to that information?
Yeah.
I mean, thinking of the Graham Dwar case and all of the European manifestations of that, if every car is tracked, then Big Brother theoretically could know where all of us are all of the time.
Yeah, exactly. And do we really want that? So these are broader conversations, but they do know ultimately that the fossil fuel chunk of the tax revenue is tapering away and will be gone in the end.
Now, the cold snap. What would you recommend in terms of moderating our driving?
Well, it's going to get cold, physically really cold. There are other winter problems, but I worry about two things. One is potentially fog on the motorways. Very, very dangerous on a foggy morning. Tailgating is a real scourge. So counties like Kildare, if it gets foggy on those motorways, stay well back from the car in front. Physically cold temperatures has a number of effects. It increases demand on electrics. So for EV users, your range will go down in the cold weather. Now, you get used to that. EVs are great, but you'll get less from it. So a note of caution if you're taking them.
And it can be quite dramatic. I mean, you can go from, say, a capacity of 400 to a capacity maybe of 310, 320.
Yeah, it can scare you somewhat, certainly if you're on a motorway. So be aware of that for EV users. And for ordinary car users, it catches out weak batteries because actually the engine fluids become more viscous at very low temperatures, takes more power to turn a car over. So when I was working in the AA, we always knew if the temperature dropped, as opposed to any other winter problems, there go all the batteries. There'll be won't starts and all that sort of stuff in the mornings.
Now, in terms of driving techniques, we're told black ice may be a feature.
Yeah. Again, if wet roads freeze overnight, in the morning, that road could look perfect. So, you know, a nice glassy winter morning, the sun is coming up, it looks crisp and beautiful. The road looks dry and safe, but actually there's a film of ice on it. The old tip used to be that reduced road noise will tell you that it's there. But actually in modern cars, You won't hear a thing anyway. Though some will have ice warnings on the dashboard, but maybe the first time you'll realise there's ice will be when you touch the brake. So you've got to be desperately careful, particularly on secondary roads.
Yeah. Once you're on the motorway, the volume of traffic tends to melt.
It does. And there will be gritting as well. I mean, we're standing by the fleets in the local authority area, standing by with plenty of grit on hand. You may remember 12 years ago, almost to the day in 2010, we were talking about grit shortages as we were going into a mega cold snap that lasted all the way to Christmas. At the moment, what's forecast is a week's worth of really, really cold temperatures specifically. So it's those low temperatures that will be catching cars.
The air is supposed to be coming down from the Arctic, and that's why it's going to get cold. Not very windy, by all accounts.
Yeah.
I don't know how much rain we might get, because that's where the hazard will lie.
Yeah, so we won't be talking about falling trees, probably. We won't be talking about being up to our hips in snow, please God. Although there may be a dusting of it in the Midlands, they're forecasting. But mostly it'll just be bitterly cold temperatures and ice. So, you know, again, if you're using an electric scooter in a city, we haven't had an icy spell since before the pandemic.
Those little wheels.
If be very, very careful. I cycled in this morning and very chilly it was too, but otherwise
there was nice, no ice this morning.
But there were people beside me on those small wheeled scooters. So if you're one of those users, a week to be careful for sure.
Additional caution. Conor Faulkner, transport commentator. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.